Welcome back. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. Where you've been for the past 21 hours. Oh, no, it's going to be one of those nights, huh? Oh, okay. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the NovaM Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. We have on the program tonight, we're going to have a 7-minute clip from Mark Crispin Miller that I would like you to hear. His most recent work, by the way, is his most recent book is Loser Take All, Election Fraud and the Subversion of Democracy, 2000 to 2008. He will be our guest 1 week from tonight on the program, but we want you to hear this a little bit later on this evening. Of course, you know who he is, among other things, a writer and commentator and SAS professor at NYU in New York City. Anyway, we're going to play that for you a little bit later on this evening. And what else do we have tonight? We have some unpleasantries. we have some unpleasantries to share with you tonight, for sure, for sure, for sure. But first, Steve writes in, Mike, I really enjoy your show, and I'm a podcast subscriber. I guess that makes me a founding member, right? I suppose this puts me on another list to be watched. I would like for you to add one thing to your show. Whenever you say this is driving me crazy, perhaps you should add an ER after that, as I often do when I describe my madness. Keep up the good work. Okay, this is driving me crazier. And, of course, you know by now that House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers has issued a subpoena to Turd Blossom to show up and chat before the House Judiciary Committee, referring to the I can't think of the right phrase that would I could say on the radio. We're talking about Karl Rove. Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin, sent a letter to the committee previously expressing that Rove would not agree to testify voluntarily. See, you know, when these committees want witnesses to testify, they give them a chance to show up voluntarily. Otherwise, they subpoena them. Anyway, what they want to talk to him about is Rove's hand in dismissing federal attorneys and also the Soviet-style prosecution and jailing, imprisonment of former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman. So we shall see what will happen, shan't we? Personally, I would like to be the sergeant-at-arms or whoever it is that Conyers would have to send out to get Rove with the power of the U.S. Congress behind me. What am I saying? With the power of the U.S. Congress behind me as it's written down, I would like to go after Karl Rove. I will volunteer to go pick him up if he doesn't show up. I don't know who they use. I guess they use the House Sergeant-at-Arms. I guess they can't use the U.S. Marshal Service. But I would like to volunteer. So if anyone wants to send an email to John Conyers, let him know that there is a crazier talk show host in the South who wants to volunteer to go bring Karl Rove in to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. I would be honored to do it. I really would. And my one prayer would be that he would resist. Regarding the Uncle Mike Story Corner last night about the woman living in her car and the city of Santa Barbara, was it, California, that provides parking lots for car dwelling or SUV dwelling or pickup truck dwelling women, a place to spend the night that is safe from predators. Kate writes in, regarding middle-class homelessness, Kate writes, is this how the amorphous yet ubiquitous they will get us into the detention camps by foreclosing on our homes and driving us into our cars? Will it be to keep the homeless safe, do you think, putting us in those camps? After having the same job for 30 years, my husband is now unemployed for the second time in just over a year, and the wages being offered are less than he was making 15 years ago and less than what we need to get by. I've been looking for work for a while now as well. Apparently, no one is thrilled about a 50-plus-year-old worker, no matter how healthy or hardworking. We've put in a very large garden this year. Oh, well, I've lived in my car before, not with arthritis, of course, although I have lived in a tent for 6 months with a baby, so perhaps that comes close. dumpster diving would be nothing new. We saw this coming, but like a lot of people, couldn't get out of the way. Kate. Dave Lindorf has expressed the following. He's talking about Bush being a war criminal. He's talking about the treatment of children by the Bush crime family. In the 2004 assault by U.S. Marines on the city of Fallujah, things were even worse. Dexter Filkins, a reporter for the New York Times, reported that before that invasion, some 20,000 Marines encircled the doomed city, which the White House had decided to level because it harbored a bunch of insurgents and had angered the American public by capturing, killing, and mutilating the bodies of four mercenaries working for U.S. forces. The residents of the 300,000 population city were warned of the coming all-out attack. Women and children and old people were allowed to flee the city and pass through the cordon of troops. But Filkins, the reporter for the Times, reported that males determined to be, quote, of combat age, end quote, which in this case was established as 12 years old and up, were barred from leaving and sent back into the city to await their fate. Young boys were ripped from their screaming mothers and sent trudging back to the city to face death. In the ensuing slaughter in Fallujah, as the U.S. dumped bombs, napalm, white phosphorus, anti-personnel fragmentation weapons, and an unimaginable quantity of machine gun and small arms fire into the city, it is clear that many of those young boys died. This was a triple war crime. First of all, it was a case of collective punishment, a practice popular with the Nazis in World War II and barred by the Geneva Conventions. The international laws of war also guarantee the right of surrender. So those men and boys who tried to leave, even if suspected of being enemy fighters, should have been allowed to surrender and to be held as captives until their loyalties could be established. The boys, meanwhile, were, quote, protected persons, end quote, who were by law to be treated as victims of war and protected from harm. Instead, they were treated as the enemy to be destroyed. For these crimes, the president should today be impeached by the Congress and then tried as a war criminal for his abuse, imprisonment, and killing of children. This president should stand trial for war crimes. And nothing, that's Dave Lindorf writing at Common Greens, dreams, nothing this rat bastard Bush has done. Nothing can compare in its sickness and ugliness and proof of his inhumanity than the imprisoning of over 2,500 children. According to the U.S. government's own figures, that's how many kids 17 years and younger have been held since 2001 as enemy combatants, often for over a year, sometimes for over 5 years. Some of these children, reportedly as young as 10, were held at Guantanamo. They even had a special camp for them there, Camp Iguana. One of those kids was locked up at age 16. 5 years later, committed suicide after 5 years in confinement at Guantanamo. And ironically and tragically, that particular victim of Bush's criminal policy had been determined by the Pentagon to have been innocent only 2 weeks before he committed suicide, but nobody bothered to tell him that he was going to be released and sent home to Afghanistan. This bastard's behavior is so criminal. This is beyond, this is, I mean, why are we even talking about this? Why are we even talking about this? Since 1949, under the Geneva Convention signed and adopted by the U.S., children under the age of 15 are classified as, quote, protected persons, end quote, and even if captured while fighting against U.S. forces, are to be considered victims not POWs. I have never come across anything like this in my life, in this country. In Germany, when the Nazis were in power, yes. In some of the tribal warfare in African countries, yes. I've never come across anything like this being done by the United States. You can close your eyes, the world is gonna let you. Your daddy's here, and it never will forget you.
Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy. You've got to admit it at this point in time that it's clear the future looks bright
on that train of graphite. 22 past the hour. Brad Friedman blogging at, is it Vote Vets? Is that where Brad's blog is? I think it is. Vet Voice. Vet Voice. .com has the results of the bill that passed the Senate today, the GI bill that passed the Senate. It passed with 75 saying yes, give the veterans a new GI bill. 75 to 22. There were 22 who voted against it and a couple who didn't even bother to show up. One of the people who did not bother to show up to vote was John McCain. He was busy talking with who was it? Ellen DeGeneres. He was on her TV program, and he was at a fundraiser on the West Coast. So he didn't have the time to go back to the Senate and vote. That was his way of aligning himself with George Bush. I'm telling you, you Obama supporters and you Clinton supporters who can't get over it when your candidate doesn't get the nomination. If you stay home or you vote for Bush, you are asking for, I'm sorry, and you vote for McCain, you're asking for Bush on speed. You better be careful. You better be real careful about how caught up you are in giving Clinton or Obama the middle finger if the other one wins. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? But McCain didn't even bother going there. Clinton and Obama both went and voted yes, of course. Now, the bill now goes back to the House. It's still not veto-proof there, but it probably will be. The Senate made it veto-proof. 67 would have been veto-proof. They wound up with 75. You want to hear the senators who voted against the troops? Okay. You probably will not be surprised to know that they're all Republicans. We've been talking on this program for, what, 5 years, 6 years? Every one of these sons of bitches who has an R after his or her name that is in the House or the Senate is anti-American, hates the troops, hates the veterans even worse. They are scum. Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee. Allard, Republican of Colorado. Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming. Bennett, Republican of Utah. Brownback, Republican of Kansas. Bunning, Republican of Kentucky. Burr, Republican of North Carolina. Cochran, Republican of Mississippi. Corker, Republican of Tennessee. Cornyn, Republican of Texas. DeMint, Republican of South Carolina. Ensign, Republican of Nevada. Enzi, Republican of Wyoming. Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Grassley, Republican of Iowa. Gregg, Republican of New Hampshire. Hatch, Republican of Utah. Kyle, Republican of Arizona, Lugar, Republican of Indiana, McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, Sessions, Republican of Alabama, Voinovich, Republican of Ohio. Now, did you notice, just in passing, how many of those senators were Southerners? Where is the largest concentration of military bases in the country and military dependents? In the South. What will it take for the troops, not the ones that are deployed right now, but the ones back here in the States, at these massive bases in the South, who are represented by these snakes, whose names I just read off, the Southerners. How long will it take the troops to understand that they are hated by the senators, the Republicans, who will do anything, anything to put them into a combat zone and then will do everything to make sure that they get nothing for their time. Nothing. A pat on the ass, a tap on the head, a shake of a prosthetic arm, that's it from these filthy, disgusting Republicans. Please, we will post this at MikeMalloy.com when the program's over tonight. Take a look at these filthy pig Republicans who have given their middle fingers to Americans' veterans.
Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy.
Your host for a Pence, Friends Future, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. I just can't get over this. These 22 senators who decided that U.S. troops are just disposable. They're like snot rags. They're like bathroom tissue. Just use them and toss them. Incredible. And McCain didn't even show up to vote on this, which by his absence indicates he fully supports the Bush's counterpoint on this, which is if this bill comes to Bush, he's going to veto it. Bush hates the troops, too, always has, because Bush is a coward, in addition to being a war criminal, by definition. You right-wingers who monitored the program, screw you. By definition, pal, he is a war criminal. Diane writes, one of the things most people don't know is how much fuel we are using in Iraq. Yeah, I'm sure the reason Diane wrote this is because gasoline now across the country is over, what, $4 a gallon. It finally hit that here in Atlanta, $4 a gallon. It's going to continue to rise. One thing, I forget who I was watching on one of the business programs. I think it was BBC Business Show, or maybe not. Maybe it was just something from an American network. But the other day, early in the morning, it was on the TV talking about how normally supply and demand kind of work in an almost mechanistic or calculated way. As supply goes up and demand comes down, prices fluctuate. As demand goes up and supply comes down, prices rise. Now, there is a ceiling to it. As demand goes up and supply goes down, prices continue to rise until it reaches that point where people who are using the product, say, chicken feed, farmer or chicken farmer, and the price of chicken feed keeps going higher and higher and higher until finally it exceeds whatever the farmer might make by buying the feed, feeding his chickens, and raising chickens for slaughter. So he stops and switches over to raising hogs, maybe. At that point, when enough chicken farmers say enough, then the price starts to come down. Where it concerns oil, there is no ceiling. It is not, dear hearts, ever going to come down. There is no reason to come down. The demand is so intense, and it's only going to continue. And as far as supply, as people have been pointing out for, what, 6 or 7 years now, who was the first guy, Kathy, Cop, the CIA, who is that guy? We had him on the air a couple of times, drawing a blank. Damn, somebody will send it to me. But he was talking about peak oil half a decade ago, or even more than that. The guy that does From the Wilderness, Mike Ruppert. We had him on the air way back in the day when he was talking about peak oil. So with the supply, it's not that the supply is going down because of this or because of that. The supply of fossil fuels is going down because we are reaching that point where there's no more to get. So the law of supply and demand all of a sudden changes into something different from supply and demand, into something of demand, and I'll kill you, goddammit, if you don't give it to me. But the price continues to go up. There is no thing. You do understand that, don't you, truth seeker? You do understand. This is not a temporary blip in the price of gasoline or oil. We're there. And where's there? We are at that point. America has had a free ride on gasoline since the internal combustion engine was put on our highways. We've always had a free ride on gasoline. Always. The rest of the world right now, the rest of the industrialized West, I don't know what they're paying in China, but in European countries, what is it, $7, $8, $9 a gallon? Canada is not much higher than ours, but Canada is one of the leading oil-producing nations on Earth. I think it is the country from which we get most of our oil. Not from Saudi Arabia. We get 14% from them. Not from Venezuela. I think we get 7 or 8% from them. But Canada. Anyway, Diane writes, one thing most people don't know is how much fuel we're using in Iraq. Our Abrams tanks use JP-8 jet fuel, and it takes 10 gallons just to start the engine. They have nearly 1,900 of them running almost constantly, and they each use about 300 gallons per hour. The Apache helicopter uses that much or more, too, and the larger copters use it by the ton. One flight by a large aircraft, like the one Bush flies over there on, uses so much fuel that the same amount of fuel would run the average car for 7 years for every hour it flies. They use so much that it is impossible to estimate their total fuel use for a month or a year. If that huge amount of fuel was left on the world market, we'd not have such a massive problem here at home. General Paul Kern, head of the Army Materiel Command, said they have to pay, on average, a cost of $300 per gallon to buy it on the world market and get it hauled up to Baghdad by so-called contractors. Not gasoline, jet fuel, aviation fuel. Do you have any doubt who some of the contractors are? No, of course you don't. Of course you don't. And every $10 rise in the price of a barrel of oil ups the Air Force cost by $610 million, over $500 million. This, according to Reuters, U.S. Air Force operates the world's largest airline, and every $10 per barrel increase in crude oil boosts the annual operating cost, that's what you and I pay, by $610 million. That's according to Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn. He said that today. The Air Force bill for aviation fuel in fiscal 2007 was about $6 billion. Wynn declined to predict what the total would be for 2008. And, of course, oil futures, where are they today? Yesterday, I know they went to $135 a barrel, more than doubled the price of a year ago. Air Force Secretary, Wynn said, quote, "We are very concerned about the instability in oil prices because it wreaks havoc on how we manage our flying hour program across the Air Force, just as it is wreaking havoc on the pricing statistics for an airline." This is what people were trying to get across. This is the idea that people were trying to get across about, it was all about oil. The attack against Iraq was all about pulling that oil off the market, driving the prices sky high, and then all of a sudden discovering what these far-sighted leaders of the United States seem unable to comprehend. There is a finite amount of anything, of everything. Honest to God, that is a truism, at least here on Earth. Isn't there? Is that a fair assumption? Unless you get into some sort of weird quantum physics and bent universes and twisting black holes. Where most of us live, there is a finite amount of everything, of anything. But especially, where do these jackasses think oil comes from in coal? It must be a gift from the oil fairies, because they can't accept the idea it was laid down 60, 70 million years ago. There was no Earth 60 million years ago, you atheist bastard! God created the oil. Well, God giveth, God taketh away, right? They don't have a clue, and they don't care. I think on some level, these freaks understand that their 70 plus a few this way or that way is about it. So why give a damn? Why care? Thinking about the future, thinking about kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids? Oh, give me a break. Talk about rotten stewards. And for the heavy-duty Christians who were charged in their holy book to be stewards of the earth and have dominion over everything, but treat it right, treat it good, treat it decent. Satan is waiting for you. Oh, man, he's going to push your head down in a pool of boiling oil, and that's what he's going to hold you under until you scream loud enough, and then he'll let you up and jab his pitchfork in you and then slide you back under and say, "You Republican son of a bitch, burn." No, that's not going to happen? All right. Roz writes, "Mike, remember the treachery of the ancient Romans on the Capitoline Hill and in the Roman Senate? Remember they were asked to fall on their sword when they had dishonored themselves? We need to mail out swords en masse to Capitol Hill and Pennsylvania Avenue." Roz, not a bad idea, Roz. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Don't get me wrong, if it's free in the Iraqi people, after them, why have we waited so long? Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the
talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. The other thing that caught my eye today about McCain, what a sour old bastard. Isn't he? I mean, what does this guy have to be sour about? How long a list do you want, right? But Barack Obama has gone out of his way, too far, in my opinion, to praise this Vietnam War criminal as being a war hero. Tuesday night in Des Moines, for example, Obama said, quote, "We face an opponent, John McCain, who arrived in Washington nearly three decades ago as a Vietnam War hero and earned an admirable reputation for straight talk and occasional independence from his party," end quote. This is where Barack Obama and I just, he's heading north, I'm heading south, man. I walk away from anyone who says that someone like John McCain is a war hero. He was a cowardly son of a bitch who bombed civilians. That's what John McCain did, and he got shot down. He's no war hero. He should have refused some of those illegal orders. Oh, that's right. The Geneva Conventions and all this other candy-ass stuff didn't matter 40 years ago. Why should it matter now? McCain is no war hero. He's a war criminal. It's just his crimes were 40 years ago. If somebody wanted to prosecute him, they should have done it by now. Bush won't be alive 40 years from now. But McCain said today that Barack Obama, who goes around praising McCain's war record, has no right. McCain says Obama has no right to criticize McCain's position on military scholarships. That would be the new GI Bill. Because Obama did not serve in uniform. Oh, bite me, you freak. What do you mean? Because somebody did serve in uniform, they don't have a right to criticize you about an issue related to veterans' benefits. Take this stuff in, you Obama and Clinton supporters, you whiny asses, you Democrats who swear before anything and everything you consider holy, I'll never vote for that Obama. I'll never vote for that Clinton. Oh, no. Keep it in mind. If you want George Bush on steroids and methamphetamine, you got him. His name is John Sidney McCain the Third. Now, what McCain is getting all blown up about is that GI Bill that would guarantee full college scholarships for those who serve in the military for 3 years. Why is he pissed off about it? Because, like the Republicans, all Republicans, this chuckle nut freak in the White House, McCain feels that if given benefits after only 3 years of service, that will encourage people to leave the military after only one enlistment. This at a time when the Bush crime family and the Republicans have got us into two wars and is trying desperately to increase the size of the Army and the Marine Corps to the point where they are now taking convicted felons and people who can't even write their own goddamn names. That's what they've done to our military. McCain and the Republicans want to increase benefits in conjunction with the veteran's length of service. If the veteran survives 1, 2, 3, 4 deployments, 5 deployments into these kinds of urban hellholes, revolutions, civil wars, whatever they are, caused by the Republicans, going all the way back to Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein as he gave him as many biological and chemical weapons as he wanted in order to go after the Iranians and the Kurds and anybody else. You see, we did this. We did this. Come on, America. Wake up. We did this. We set up Saddam. We have committed acts of we've committed war crimes. We have what did the German people the German high command was put on trial, and some of the officers who were not on that level, and some of the industrialists and so on and so forth. But the German people were more or less left to just kind of sit there and stare at each other when the slaughter and the debauchery and the crimes were finished, and just kind of look at each other and like, what happened? The Germans were the people that produced incredible music and art and science and engineering and medicine and philosophy and... And then they had Hitler. So what are we going to do? You know, I do. I think about this sometimes. Does anybody really believe that when the Bush and these rat bastards that suck around him, when they leave, is that it? Does the curtain come down on all this and the rest of the world says, well, we're glad that's over, America. Now let's see what it's like with a Democratic president. We sure are glad that George Bush is that how easy it's going to be? You think that? Do you think that? Do you think that? 2,500 children thrown in torture camps by the Bush crime family. Do you think out of those 2,500 children, and let's just focus on the children who have been rounded up. Do you think those kids are going to grow up and think, well, America made a mistake? You know, the Supreme Court gave the presidency. Do you think they're going to say that? Do you think for 1 second, as these children reach 15, 25, 30, 35 years old, that their memories of what we did to them are just going to soften into some gauzy, half-remembered memory of, oh, yeah, well, America was, trying to bring freedom to Afghanistan so we could wear shoes and fly kites. So I guess it's okay that they tortured me and raped me and beat me and hung me by my arms and... Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Do you don't believe that, do you, Truth Seeker? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Question for you. Why so much attention? Remember a couple of months ago, every time you turn on your television, there was Reverend Jeremiah Wright giving his fire and brimstone sermon, and whoever commentator it was on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or ABC or CBS or NBC, they're all just kind of wetting their pants over the awfulness of it all. Look what this Negro preacher is saying about this Negro candidate for president. Oh, my God, they hate white people, huh? Obama must hate white people, too. Oh, my God. Wait, you know, where are the endless looped videos of John Hagee, the psychopathic crazy man from Texas who has a huge megachurch filled chock-a-block to the rafters with people who want to smell burning flesh, not their own, but the burning flesh of the sinners' husbands and wives and babies and grandmammies and so on and so forth, while they rapture up to heaven. You know, a real nest of insane people in John Hagee's church, in Rod Parsley's church, all these churches. These are people who get together on Sundays primarily for an exercise in collective insanity. They just sit there and snorf and snargle at each other and raise their hands up to the cloud being, content in the knowledge that everything's going to burn except them. And up in the pulpit is this corpulent Jabba the Hutt type, John Hagee. Yeah, them goddamn Jews. You know what happened to them Jews? Hitler came after. You know why? I'll tell you why, brothers and sisters. God sent Hitler. Yeah, he did. And you know something else? Jews don't have souls. That's what this guy has done. Over and over and over and over. That's the basis of his belief system. Hagee. When this piece of human waste endorsed McCain, McCain said he was very honored, his words, very honored to have the endorsement. When some candy-ass reporter asked McCain about Hagee's extensive writings on Armageddon, And about what one questioner said was Mr. Hagee's belief that the Antichrist will be the head of the European Union. See, the reporter got it wrong. The Antichrist is a Jew, according to Mr. Hagee. How did McCain respond to all that? He said, quote, "All I can tell you, my friend, is that I am very proud, my friend, to have Pastor Hagee's support," end quote. Now, either, I said this earlier when this endorsement first came up, either McCain is just as lusting after power as Hillary Clinton, or he's a fool, or both, or he's a liar, or all three, or his brain is just turned into, it's just been honeycombed by whatever's eating away in there. But finally, John McCain has rejected the endorsement of influential Texas televangelist, criticized for his anti-Catholic views. No. Yes, of course. But McCain knew about his anti-Catholic views. He knew that Hagee called the Roman Catholic Church the great whore. The whore. Jews don't have souls. This, and some of you people wonder why I reject religion. Oh, please, give me a break. Oh, my God. McCain says, well, okay, I don't want him because he's anti-Catholic. And McCain, he's also someone who would gladly pull the switch in the ovens in Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen or Treblinka or Sobibor or wherever. He would do that, John. And it took you how long? How long did it take you, Mr. Vietnam War hero, to reject this psychopathic bastard? And what about Rod Parsley? When are you going to get to him? He says Muslims should be butchered, murdered, killed. Jews have dead souls. Hagee said, God sent Adolf Hitler to punish the Jews and chase them to the promised land. McCain, in a statement, said, obviously, my friends, I find these remarks and others deeply offensive and indefensible, and I repudiate them. I did not know of them, my friends, before Reverend Hagee's endorsement, my friends, and I feel I must reject his endorsement as well, my friends. And then Hagee, this little dance between Hagee and McCain, there's no rejection here. Then Hagee issued a statement saying he was tired of baseless attacks, and he was therefore removing himself from any active role in the 2008 campaign. What? But the word has already gone out. The word has gone out, you see, from these psychopathic, murderous so-called Christians like Parsley and Hagee and the Focus on the Family swine and the rest of the word is already out there. McCain's the boy. He's the one. Ain't going to vote for no woman. Ain't going to vote for no Negro. Hell no. Did you know the Jews don't have souls? Did you know Hitler came to chase him, that he was a hunter? That's what God said. I'm going to send a hunter. He's going to hunt down the Jews. Sick son of a bitch. Why is this not looped on television 24/7 like the Jeremiah Wright thing was? Could it be? Do you think maybe, possibly, that the media in this country sucks? By that I mean is so pro-McCain and pro-war and pro-death, just like the Republican Party, that this will slide right on by. The only way you're going to hear about this is listening to some rabid talk show host like moi, or maybe Randy Rhodes gets into it, I don't know who's left. But there it is. And Barack Obama had to go into synagogues today in Florida if not synagogues, Jewish retirement centers, and actually tell the old ladies there, look, I'm not an anti-Semite, and I'm not a Muslim, and I will continue our blanket, no questions asked, support of Israel. I promise, while McCain wallows for months in the endorsement of someone who says to those little old Jewish ladies, retired Jewish ladies in Florida, you don't have a soul. And God sent Hitler to murder your children. And the Catholic Church is the great whore. And how do I know this? Because I'm Pastor John Hagee, and I read my Bible. And it's Obama! It's Obama that has to repeatedly say, no, I don't accept Jeremiah Wright's statements. He's a friend. I can't toss him in the creek. All right, I'll toss him in the creek. Over and over and over, endlessly. Over and over, Jeremiah Wright. The chickens are coming home to roost. Yada, 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 yada. Did Jeremiah Wright say the Catholic Church was the big whore? Did Jeremiah Wright say Hitler came at God's bidding? Did Jeremiah Wright say Jews don't have souls? No, God damn it! It was Pastor John Hagee who endorses McCain. And McCain said, I am proud of his endorsement. Why are those videos missing from television, huh? I mean, wouldn't you like to see them over and over and over again? Jews don't have souls. Jews don't have souls. Jews don't have souls, huh? Wouldn't you like to see that? Hitler came to chase him to the promised land. Hitler came to chase him to the promised land. Hitler came to... can I get an amen? Sick bastards.
I work for Jesus all my days, and on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays. I don't have much to offer him, I'm very small, you see, but I can love my Jesus, and he can still love me, and partner all I want to do is satisfy my Lord, and be the bestest Christian boy in all the whole wide world. I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days, and on the prairie.
Yet tonight, how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, he's been telling me that he's gonna be all right.
21 past the hour. Okay, listen to this. I'll let you guess who's saying this. This was at a meeting of CUFI, Christians United for Israel. A conference. This was less than a year ago. The speaker goes on and on and says, so I'm honored by your invitation to speak tonight, to thank you for what you are doing, to exhort you to continue to do more, which is God's work, and to pray with you that you are successful. I begin by thanking your founder, Pastor John Hagee. I would describe Pastor Hagee with the words the Torah uses to describe Moses. He is an Ish Elohim, a man of God, because those words fit him. And like Moses, Pastor Hagee has become the leader of a mighty multitude in pursuit of and in defense of Israel. You know his story. Almost 60 years ago, a young John Hagee sat at his family's kitchen table in Channelview, Texas, heard the news about Israel's declaration of independence, and saw how moved his family was by it. Since then, he has been devoted to the defense of Israel and to its vitality. He has done so because Israel's right fight is his fight. Israel's values are his values, and Israel's hopes and dreams are his hopes and dreams. Pastor Hagee, I pray that God will bless you with all that you pray for. And I do so with great confidence because I know what the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12:3. If ever there was a man who will be blessed because he has blessed Israel, Pastor Hagee, it is you. Joe Lieberman said that. Joe Lieberman praising a man who says Joe Lieberman has no soul. Son of a bitch, what am I missing here? Pastor Hagee says Lieberman has no soul because he's a Jew. Lieberman quotes Torah in describing Hagee. Yesh Elohim, a man of God. Oh, somebody stop me before I don't know, what am I about to do? Puncture my eardrums or something? I don't believe this.
Which one of them, was it Hagee or Parsley, has that YouTube clip where he's screaming at people to just starve?
Well, that's Hagee. That's Hagee.
Poor people
that won't get a job are to starve. That's right. Let them starve. That's what God said. I can't get my mind around. What the hell is going on? Who's insane here? Me or Lieberman or McCain or Hagee or Parsley?
I begin by thanking your founder, Pastor John Hagee. I would describe Pastor Hagee with the words Torah uses to describe Moses. He is an Yesh Elohim, a man of God.
Pastor Hagee is a man of God, Lieberman, and you are a soulless shell who must have run mighty fast to escape the death camps. Because according to Hagee, God sent Hitler to get you. And you're going to praise him? Lieberman, you scum. How could you... Never mind. But Barack Obama's pastor? Former pastor? The Reverend Jeremiah Wright? Who said America's foreign policy has been such that the chickens are coming home to roost. Oh my God! The audacity of the Negro preacher! The audacity of the Negro preacher! But John Hagee! The Catholic Church is a whore, and Jews don't have a soul, and Hitler came with God's blessing. God's directive! Go kill the Jews. And just today, McCain says, well, my friends, I repudiate. Repudiate? What the hell does that mean? That sounds like Rod Parsley standing up there saying, I repudiate Satan! I repudiate sin! I repudiate liberals! No, repudiate, John, is too late, pal. You freak. All of these people, what the hell is going on? Where do I live? I live in an insane asylum. That's where I live. Oh, play this music. I love this music.
Say we all travel different roads, but they all lead to heaven. But God's word is plainly say, Jesus is the only way. So put your trust in him, do not the ecumenical movement. They always talk about
The best way to defeat the totalitarian of hate is with an ideology of hope, an ideology of hate.
You sorry bastard. All right, have you got the Hagee, the one where he talks about let him starve? You want to know how much of a Christian this guy is? All right, let's listen to Hagee.
We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. You no longer look to God, you look for a check in the mail. In the Bible says the man that does not work should not eat. I still think that ought to be the law in the United States of America. If you don't want to get up off your blessed assurance and go to work, starve! I don't care! Starve! I don't feel sorry for you! Go to work!
Oh, well, that's kind of nice. From the book, Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Before him all the nations will be gathered, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will tell those on his right hand, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer them, "Most certainly I tell you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And then he will say also to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will answer also, saying, "Lord, when did we see hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't help you?" And then he will answer them, saying, "Most certainly I tell you, inasmuch as you didn't do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now let's play that once again, Kathy. Pastor Hagee! Pastor Hagee on what to do when people are hungry!
We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare.
Amen.
You don't look to God, you look for a check in the mail.
Hallelujah.
In the Bible says the man that does not work should not eat.
Oh!
I still think that ought to be the law in the United States of America. If you don't want to get up off your blessed assurance and go to work, starve!
Starve!
I don't care! Starve!
Starve!
I feel sorry for you. Go to work!
Starve, you son of a bitch! Now, do you think Pastor Hagee is going to be among the sheep or among the goats? Which one?
You know, I want to know what jobs that he is suggesting that everyone go get, because, you know, unemployment apparently is hitting some other new record, and when all our jobs are going to China and India and Mexico and God knows where else, Are we just supposed to starve when, you know, the guy from Exxon made $12.5 billion last year
or something,
you know, or million or $40 billion in
profit. You know what I really like when you watch that little video clip of Pastor Hagee telling people to starve. Notice how fat the son of a bitch is.
He's not starving.
No, he's not. He eats babies. He is a child eater. He eats Jewish babies, and he eats Catholic babies. He goes out and he finds them, and he eats them. He is, I swear, there are weird-looking televangelists. Oh, my God. Rod Parsley looks like, well, Parsley. And what's the other one?
Say Baby.
Who's that? Oh, Ernest Angley.
Ernest Angley.
Angley. Ernest Angley.
That little dead animal on his head.
And then the other one, the one that said, God's going to kill me if you don't send me money to keep this university open. Who is that? Oral Roberts.
I was going to hold Oral Roberts.
Love his
Wasn't
name.
Wasn't he the one that went up in the prayer tower?
He did.
And was holding God hostage.
He was.
He didn't get $10 million or something.
Amen, he did.
He was going to be called home.
Hallelujah, it was.
But it didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
Some hooker called him instead.
He did, didn't he? No, that was Jimmy Swagger.
Oh, I can't keep it
I
straight.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
We got the Earl, Reverend Earl Polk here in Atlanta, who
Bishop Earl Polk,
whose nephew all these years, actually his son, because he was stooping his brother's wife.
Hallelujah!
He said, "Love your brother like you would like to love themselves." I don't know, man. They keep it in the family.
Yeah, well, you know, sex is one thing, but incest is best.
Oh, it's my son. No. It's my nephew. It's my son. It's my nephew. Chinatown.
Yeah, really. Closer than they will ever know. I can't stand it. So how do we get off on this insane rat maze tangent about these so-called Christians and Joe Lieberman, an Orthodox Jew who praises a man who says he, the Jew, has no soul? I mean, we all know that Lieberman defines the word opportunist. His picture is in the dictionary next to that word. But my God, Holy Joe, they're talking about your religion here, not your political aspirations, your religion. How do you go to synagogue and sit there and listen to Torah when you know you have praised a man who says you have no soul? And John McCain, who knew about this pig, who knew about this waddling, large, corpulent demon from hell. It's one thing, these crazy, just animalistic pastors, you kind of expect that. The world is full of liars, cheats, sneaks, people who will suck your soul out of you. People will take everything you've got and then kick you to the curb. But dear God, what are their parishioners like? What are these people like who go into these dens of hell every Sunday and sit there and listen to a beast like Hagee or Parsley or the rest of these thugs tell them this nonsense? Why don't they stay home and read their Bibles? Where God said, Jesus says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was homeless and you took me in. You get to go to heaven. No. These people follow Pastor Hagee. Starve, you son of a bitch! God hates you anyway! When the rapture day comes for this freak, what does he think? That there's going to be this huge heavenly crane reach down and lift his corpulent ass off Earth? I mean, Hagee floating? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I got to stop. This just gets me. It just gets me too insane because so many Americans subscribe to this garbage. Subscribe to it and listen to these people. Radio stations are reluctant to take a liberal talk show host, but they will broadcast this kind of garbage to hundreds of millions of people. Starve! Okay, in San Francisco writes, Mike, I just finished listening to your rant last night about Veterans for Peace being banned from the Washington, D.C. Memorial Day Parade, while war profiteering corporations like Raytheon and United Technologies are participating. Well, of course. As Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage would say, quote, "I won't let you ruin my war for me. Destroys the weak, does it? Well, what does peace do for them? War feeds its people better." While Brecht was writing about the war profiteers of World War II, his words perfectly describe the guiding philosophy of the Bush crime family and its corporatist enablers. Kay in San Francisco. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Now there's lots of folks acquiring, and even more aspiring to have things and toys and stuff that bucks can't buy. They got boom boxes blasting, big bass boats were casting, more new tricks and truck than you and I could ever hope to.
Oh, kill me now.
Wheel drives turning, credit cards,
singing John Ashcroft.
Kicks and highs on which you can't
the gospel, according to John.
There's just one thing satisfying. He's the one who did our dying, and he's waiting in that city in the sky. Now there's lots of folks have been thanking that real joy it comes bringing and the world of pleasures that the world provides. But the fleet hides their feeling. Gonna send you rock.
About 10 before the hour. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. I promise. Coming back after the top of the hour break, we're going to take your phone calls. So if you want to get online, 800-989-1480. Michael in Roswell, New Mexico writes, Mike, do you think pastors like Hagee would be a bit conflicted if Jesus really did come back, but he came back as an IRS investigator?
Or a Jenny Craig associate.
A Jenny Craig associate. And this is from Jan. Mike, I went to Hagee's website to see what the overstuffed evangelist has to say about his critics. There was one link to a critical story about Hagee with a rebuttal article written by someone named Joel Mowbray, who is listed as a contributor to the Washington Times. I looked Mr. Mowbray up, and lo and behold, he's the product of two conservative Republican organizations, Americans for Tax Reform and Linda Chavez's Center for Equal Opportunity, with past service given to Fox News, and is a current contributor to townhall.com, another conservative website. Where there is born-again smoke, there is neocon pig fire! From Jan in Oregon, Wisconsin. No, I didn't say it wrong. It's Oregon, Wisconsin. And Bill sent this in about McCain. McCain is no war hero. Being shot down from your plane doesn't make you a war hero. It means you're either unlucky or incompetent. Neither qualifies as heroism. America has an unhealthy tendency to celebrate the most unlucky or incompetent of its military professionals as heroes. To be a true hero, you need to show superior skill or bravery. McCain has done neither. He is as phony as a $3 bill. Yeah, it's true. I think anyone who served in the Navy during the time that McCain was there, who were paying any attention to McCain, the son of the four-star admiral who was in command of the U.S. forces in Southeast Pacific, those Navy people understood that McCain was a hot-shot son of this admiral. He was incompetent. How many airplanes did he crash on the decks of aircraft carriers before he finally was allowed to go on? Was it his first mission that he was shot down? fell into a lake in the middle of Hanoi, and the Vietnamese rescued him and then treated him like a POW. According to McCain, he was tortured. I don't think there's anyone who will doubt his word. I don't know what the North Vietnamese said about the capture of McCain and what happened subsequent to his capture, the 5 or 6 years he spent as a POW. But I don't think he was treated the way we have treated people in Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo and Diego Garcia and all these places where we rendition people. You know, I don't know. I just don't. But I think Bill is right here. McCain was either incompetent or unlucky or both and wound up in the hands of the people who lived in the country that we decided to poison and bomb. The country that contained the people that we decided to butcher. And in the process of butchering 2 million of them, we also killed 58,000 of our own people and left another 200,000-300,000 wounded. And for what? Yeah, well, you know the answer to that. Phone calls, phone calls. We have phone calls. Start with Mitch in Ogden, Utah, listening on the Internet. Hey, Mitch.
Hi. I was just calling to about how you were earlier talking about how Bush had committed war crimes about putting children in Guantanamo Bay, right?
Yeah. Among other places. There are a lot of children who are locked up in prisons in Afghanistan and Iraq. There have been, according to the investigation conducted by the FBI, there were approximately 20 people who were put into Guantanamo under the age of 17. Now, some of them have been there for 5 years, so those would be people who are 20, 21 years old now.
Well, according to the Geneva Convention, it actually says that without prejudice or provisions to the state of health or age and sex, protected persons
right.
shall be treated with the same consideration by the party of conflict. So basically it's saying that you can if they are hostile to you, you can imprison them, but they have to be separated with special protection.
No,
I cannot see how Bush has committed a war crime because you were talking about Camp Iguana or something like that.
You can't see how Bush has committed a war crime. He has ordered the torture of people in violation of the Geneva Conventions and just about every treaty we've ever signed since we have been a country. Are you this intent on supporting this miserable bastard that you are going to misread don't interrupt me.
Okay.
I didn't interrupt you. Are you so intent on supporting this war criminal that you are going to misinterpret or lay your own interpretation on the Geneva Conventions and then twist it and say, well, Bush didn't commit war crimes?
Well, what I just read to you is directly from the UN website.
No, all right, let me ask you, let me put it a different way. Let me simplify it so you can understand it. What part of locking up innocent children in a concentration camp sounds okay to you?
Well, first of all...
Okay, never mind. Mitch, I'll tell you what. Crawl back into your spider hole and go away. People like you freak me out because I live in the same country with you. And I can't deal with it. I really can't. Go away. Go as far away from this program as you can go. Don't ever call again. Go away. Welcome back. Seven past the hour. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, right? If you've been hanging around for the past couple hours, are you about ready to claw your eyeballs out, too? Oh, my God. Let's go right to your phone calls. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey. Good evening to you. I have to preface this. I kind of would have liked to have heard what that guy had to say tonight. It would be a lesson for all of us.
No, I don't have the patience.
He went over the line, I tell you. I wanted to talk about money, amongst other things, just to get to look at this perspective of money. You know, we faced down the Soviet Union in the Cold War and outspent them. We played high-stakes poker with them and broke them. And that's what happened. And do you think the so-called other side, all of those ragtag groups put together, all of the so-called intentional enemies of us, have one millionth of the firepower or money that we have, or can get a hold of that oil that we have? This is about making money for those folks, as you well know. But we've already spent them to death.
Spent who to death?
Our so-called, what they're telling us, who are the enemies, you know, the Islamists, the Islamo-fascists or whatever.
Well, I disagree. I really disagree, Alan. First of all, I disagree about the fall of the Soviet Union. The system was rotten from the inside. We didn't outspend them. Gorbachev came along in the mid-80s and started to, started talking about two things. Perestroika, which was restructuring the Soviet system because it wasn't working. The economy was just shot. It had been shot for half a century. And then the second word was glasnost, which was the idea of openness, which translates to democracy. And then when these ideas were put forth, some of the Soviet bloc countries took them seriously. The Solidarity movement started in Poland, which was an anti-communist workers' rights organization. The Czech Revolution, the so-called Velvet Revolution in Hungary, all over the place, they started testing what Gorbachev said. And when they tested, Gorbachev refused to send in the tanks. And as a result, the Soviet Union came apart at the seams. But what was rotting it, it wasn't Ronald Reagan. It wasn't cruise missiles in England. It wasn't because we had more money or bigger bombs. None of that is true. This is what the right wing puts out, that we spent them into oblivion, that we had more power. All the Soviet Union, whoever was leading the Soviet Union at the time, all they had to do, Alan, was launch their missiles. And mutual assured destruction would have happened. They didn't do it because they knew several things. First of all, that their system was rotten. But it had nothing to do, to the extent that these right-wingers want to tell you it had everything to do. Well, Ronald Reagan ended the Cold War. Ronald Reagan didn't do a damn thing. Ronald Reagan was a bad actor who thought he was president of the United States. But I completely disagree with that idea, Alan, that we outspent the Soviets and that's what made them collapse. No, we didn't.
Star Wars.
Everybody who had the sense of a sack full of doorknobs knew that Star Wars was nonsense. It was nonsense 30 years ago. It's nonsense now. There is no such thing. Ronald Reagan used a comic book idea of a shield over the United States. The Soviets took a look at that and went, you've got to be kidding me. They honestly think they can put up a shield against 8, 9, 10,000 ICBMs tipped with 4 or 5 nukes on each one? Please. No, Alan, with all due respect, sir, the Soviet Union collapsed not because of Ronald Reagan, but because it was rotten from the inside. It was a totalitarian state that gave no freedom to its people, no freedom to its economic system. It was all built around the central planning of a bunch of gray, nasty old commies who couldn't find their ass with both hands. That's why it collapsed.
Well, let me just say this about money then. About oil. You don't think there's anything we can do to stop this price of oil?
No.
That could be done?
Well, absolutely no. Because, like I said earlier in the program, there is a limited supply left on Earth or in the Earth. When it's gone, it's gone. And what is happening now is a mad rush to buy as much as possible by countries who really need it, like India, China, the United States. And there is no cap on how high it's going to go. The normal rules of economics are not applying here. This is an entirely different situation than any ever faced by the human race. The only way to end this madness is to get off oil.
Agreed. If a worker asks for a 15-cent raise, this government says no, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Why can't we say to oil companies at the pump here, you got to do something? We're going to cap it here.
But how are we going to back it up? I mean, if the worker asks for a 15-cent raise and the boss says no, and the worker insists, since there's no unions anymore, the boss can fire him. If we say to the oil companies, we want this madness to stop, we want $1.50 gallon gasoline, the oil companies will just look at us and say, well, what are you going to do to get it? Are you going to stop driving?
Remember the price of tea back in 1700?
Well, yeah, that was back in the 1760s or 1770s, the price of tea. Yeah, okay. That has absolutely nothing to do with the price of oil, Alan. I'm sorry.
How people reacted to it.
Right, and it wasn't the price of tea. It was the fact, it was taxed, you know. Alan, thanks, man. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care. I again, with due respect to Alan, he's a regular listener, and I like Alan when he calls in and so on and so forth. But we've all been so propagandized into believing that somehow Ronald Reagan, standing in Berlin, saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Like, all of a sudden, that brought a 50-year mutually assured destruction Cold War with nuclear bombs aimed at practically every living human being in the Northern Hemisphere, that somehow Ronald Reagan standing there saying that ended the Cold War? No. A lot of people, what's his name, was it Roger Waters, has the album out about Face that came out in the 80s, remember that one? That has the song on it, Cruise. Remember that, Kathy? It was not cruise missiles in England or in Scotland or wherever. It was not a bomber fleet based in Turkey or Germany that brought the Soviet Union down. That was just part of the great game. That was part of the military-industrial complex feeding itself constantly for 50 years, feeding itself. You know, when Kennedy told us there was a missile gap, there was no missile gap. When subsequent presidents told us there was a bomber gap or a nuclear bomb gap, or that was hog snot. Why is it so difficult when we had a Republican president who was the supreme Allied commander in World War II, who upon leaving office warned the American public about the monstrous dangers of the military-industrial complex? Why did we not take it seriously and still don't believe it? We still don't as a country. What in the name of hell could Iraq have ever done to the United States? What can Iran ever do to the United States? Pick a country, one of these oil-producing Arab or Muslim countries. What could they do to the United States? Nothing. Absolutely nothing in terms of war and death and bombs. We are the ones who can do to them the delivery of nuclear weapons. But you see, this is what we're taught. This is what we're told every single day. The Muslim threat. The Arab threat. What threat? What? Somebody, please, tell me. When are they coming? What are they going to do? Are they coming? I know. They're going to attack Detroit. No. Newark. Yeah, that's the ticket. Newark. That's where they're going to attack.
It's about greed. It's about rich white men getting richer. It's about fears and control of those barrels of black gold. Yeah, step up, folks, to another war when we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines. I want to see it in big lights.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, Dino, north of Toronto, writes, Mike, what you just said about the end of communism and the end of the Cold War is essentially correct. However, you got one date wrong. Gorbachev came in around 1987, where he opened up the system and democratic reforms were instituted. The struggle in Poland began during the late 70s and early 80s. You had said that Gorbachev came in during the early 80s, and this is not quite right. Just wanted to mention the correction. Keep up the good work, Dino, north of Toronto. Yeah, I get this happens all the time. You know, I'm just firing on all cylinders, and I can't, since I'm not an historian, you know, just a talk show. But I appreciate the correction. Thanks, Dino. It's hard to keep it all straight, but, you know. Bill writes in, if John McCain is a war hero, what should we call Audie Murphy? Now, how many of you, let me see some hands. How many knows Audie Murphy? You know who he is, Kathy? You don't have a clue, do you?
I only know because I'm married to you.
And I'm old. Audie Murphy, for those of you who don't know, was I used to see him in movies, mostly cowboy movies, when I was a kid growing up. And the thing I didn't like about him, he was just too damn cute. He had such a baby face. I mean, his face was just, he looked like an angel. He was so pretty, Audie Murphy, just ungodly pretty. And he was in movie after movie after movie. Well, so as a kid growing up, he wasn't manly enough for me. So, you know, I just didn't like him that much until I got a little bit older and found out that he was the most decorated war hero in World War II. The most decorated in World War II, including the Congressional Medal of Honor. Here's from his citation. Second Lieutenant Murphy commanded Company B, which was attacked by six tanks and waves of infantry. Second Lieutenant Murphy ordered his men to withdraw to prepared positions in a woods while he remained forward at his command post and continued to give fire directions to the artillery by telephone. Behind him and to his right, one of our tank destroyers received a direct hit and began to burn. Its crew withdrew to the woods. Second Lieutenant Murphy continued to direct artillery fire, which killed large numbers of the advancing enemy infantry. With the enemy tanks abreast of his position, Second Lieutenant Murphy climbed on the burning tank destroyer, which was in danger of blowing up at any moment, and employed its 50-caliber machine gun against the enemy. He was alone and exposed to German fire from three sides, but his deadly fire killed dozens of Germans and caused their infantry attack to waver. The enemy tanks, losing infantry support, began to fall back. For an hour, the Germans tried every available weapon to eliminate 2nd Lieutenant Murphy, but he continued to hold his position and wiped out a squad which was trying to creep up unnoticed on his right flank. Germans reached as close as 10 yards, only to be mowed down by his fire. He received a leg wound, but ignored it and continued the single-handed fight until his ammunition was exhausted. He then made his way back to his company, refused medical attention, and organized the company in a counterattack, which forced the Germans to withdraw. His directing of artillery fire wiped out many of the enemy. He killed or wounded around 50. Second Lieutenant Murphy's indomitable courage and his refusal to give an inch of ground saved his company from possible encirclement and destruction and enabled it to hold the woods, which had been the enemy's objective. What did John McCain do? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Crashed a couple of jets onto the decks of aircraft carriers and then made a bombing run to murder civilians and got shot down. That's a war hero? Thank you, Bill. Billy is calling from Conley, Georgia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Billy.
Hi, how you doing? You're in good form tonight, Mike.
Well, thank you, Billy.
I was thinking about the book that Chalmers Johnson wrote, which Reverend Wright was talking about. It was called Blowback, the Policy of the United States when we, our foreign policy, invite retaliation from people over there. And, you know, people was condemning him when he said that this was the chicken come home to roost. And Chalmers Johnson, who was with the intelligence, actually stated that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, sure. Yeah, there was nothing that Jeremiah Wright said that was untrue. I mean, he might have filtered it through his own preacher style or what have you, but the comments that he made that seemed to frost every Republican's ass in this country were true statements. There's nothing he didn't tell a lie.
And something else a lot of people don't know. The night the U.S. Maddox, the destroyer, was attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin, you know, John McCain was flying top cover that night.
Oh, was he?
Yes, and you need to check on this here. I don't know what aircraft carrier he was. It was on his aircraft carrier where the carrier plane crashed, and a lot of guys lost their lives because that plane, I mean, that carrier, they thought they was going to lose it.
Was that
I don't know if it was his plane or not.
Was it the Kitty Hawk? I think it was the Kitty Hawk.
Yes, it was.
Hey, Billy, there's the music. Thanks, man. I got a boogie. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care.
Okay.
Oh, and thanks to everybody. David Gilmour, not Roger Waters. David Gilmour did About Face. Oh, is this it? This is it, isn't it? Yeah, this is from About Face. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. About 25 before the hour, a couple of emails here before we go back to your calls. excuse me, Lauren writes in, Mike, of course we never hear how McCain was fooling around in his jet on the deck of the U.S. The carrier USS Forrestal, it wasn't Kitty Hawk, it was a Forrestal, and accidentally discharged a bomb, blowing it up. The story says he was helicoptered off ahead of all the wounded to keep the other sailors from killing him. Really, that's, thanks Lauren, I didn't know that story. Sounds like it, though. On the collapse of the Soviet Union, Spitfire writes, blue jeans and rock music had more to do with the collapse of the Soviet Union than Reagan. By the way, on his famous tear down this wall speech, the wall was already coming down before he made that speech. He had to cancel a trip to Japan to rush over there. I have a friend who was there, and he said they were giving away free beer to gather a crowd, and then they held up cue cards in German so people knew when to cheer for the American audience. This was a classic example of a politician seeing a parade and jumping in front of it. Heretic writes, excuse me, Heretic writes, hey, Mike, I've been following the oil gas market and peak oil theory for years now. Here's a little research I did recently at gasbuddy.com. GasBuddy.com, a website that not only allows you to find the cheapest gas in your area, but can provide all kinds of good charts and graphs that help you see through the media BS on the oil market. And then Heretic provides proof that the oil gas companies are not screwing us, although they have very often in the past. Oil, last year at this time, $62 a barrel. Oil today, $125 a barrel. Actually, it's about $135. Gas, last year at this time, U.S. average $3 a gallon. Gas today, U.S. average $3.75 a gallon. So, Heretic writes, the price of gas hasn't even come close to keeping pace with the price of crude oil. If it had, we'd already be paying $6 a gallon at the pump. The oil companies are keeping gas prices artificially low to avoid panic and utter economic catastrophe. They're taking a hit to their regular profit margins in order to keep this house of cards from collapsing, contrary to what we are led to believe. They're still profiting, of course, but nowhere near as much as they normally would be, because they can't do so without ending the American way of life and ruining their own industry. Okay, Heretic, I'll take your word for it, pal. And Bob writes in, he's found a new political party. Mike, a guy passed his pamphlet to me on the street today. It looks like a promising new political party. We sure don't have anything like this today. I might join. And here it is. It's called the King County Democrats. And it says, these are our values. We are the Democrats, the party of the people, the party of good government. We cherish the American heritage of opportunity and inclusion. We pledge ourselves to the pursuit of the constitutional guarantees of liberty and justice for all. We believe good government serves and protects all of its people by cooperative efforts both at home and abroad. We believe it is our duty to pass a better world to future generations. We are dedicated to creating peace, counteracting global climate change and its effects, protecting the environment for ourselves and future generations, health care for all, high-quality public education, fighting poverty and ending homelessness, economic justice with living wage jobs and fairness in tax policy. We are also dedicated to fiscal responsibility, integrity, openness, and accountability in government. We are dedicated to redesigning the criminal justice system to emphasize rehabilitation, preserving the rule of law and keeping our judicial system free of politics, respecting religious liberty by upholding the separation of church and state, and protecting human rights at home and abroad, and we are dedicated to equal rights for all. Wow, that sounds like something I could get behind. What's it called? The Democratic Party. And in this particular instance, King County, which is Seattle, isn't it? The King County Democrats. I want to join this one. I'd like to join this one. This is not the Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama Democratic Party. King County Democrats. All right. Back to your phone calls. Hope is calling from Los Angeles. Listening on KTLK. Hey, Hope.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Speak to me. This is Mike.
Hi, Mike. This is Hope.
Hi, Hope.
I want to underscore what I have to say by saying first that free speech is just too free. You hear me?
The child in the background is making it difficult.
Okay. No, you can hear me now. I've moved out of that room.
Okay.
I want to underscore what I'm saying by first letting you know that I think free speech is just too free.
Too free.
Right. Earlier on, listening to you on the radio.
How would you tighten it up, Hope?
What do you mean?
Well, you say it's too free. How would you make it less free?
People should not be able to just get on the radio and say scandalous things about others the way you did earlier on.
What scandalous thing did I say?
When you were speaking about Reverend Parsley and Reverend Hagee.
No, I was letting them speak for themselves. What I was quoting from was the Bible.
You are misinterpreting the scripture.
I'm not. And you're going to burn in hell. Because the scripture I was quoting were the words out of Jesus' mouth. So be careful now.
What I mean by free speech being too free.
No, wait. Hope. What do Hagee and Parsley say that you agree with?
What do they say that I agree with?
Yes, ma'am.
You just told me.
No, Hope. What do Hagee and Parsley say that you agree with?
That people like you who don't repent will go to hell.
Uh-huh. What else?
I firmly agree with that.
Okay.
Can I continue?
Do you believe that...
Why would you come on the radio?
Do you believe...
take the scripture out of context.
Because I'm a demon.
You're a demon? Yes, you are. That's the first...
I am a demon from the eighth ring of hell.
Yes,
I have fangs and claws, and I want to come and visit you.
You are a demon. Come and visit me. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. What do you mean?
You have, wait a minute, you have some of Jesus' blood?
It's all over me, and I have it for you.
It's all over you? Isn't that against the health laws in Los Angeles County?
Wait a second, put some on you.
Put some on me? Blood?
Yeah. You tell me that you're a demon from hell. Yes, you
are.
I
am a demon. My name is Ugly.
Yeah? You know what? Something's wrong with you.
I am a demon!
Are you going to allow me to say what I got to say?
No, I'm going to come and eat you alive. I'm going to bite off your head. I'm going to nibble on your feet.
You know what?
I'm going to roast you on a spit. I am going to do all sorts of things. I am coming to you, Hope. I am coming to you.
I am coming to you.
I am coming to you. The hell is going on? Shouldn't you be listening to some religious station right now? I mean, it's L.A., for God's sake. Y'all have, what, 90 radio stations out there? Hope. I'm coming to you! Let's move on, please. Oh, my God, please let's move on. Dave is calling from San Bernardino, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Good evening to you.
Thank you. I hope. Now, you're not going to...
No. I'm not coming to you. I was laughing so hard I almost knocked the phone over. Now, I want to talk about our friend.
Okay.
McCain.
Mr. McCain.
War hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Now, yeah, it was the Forest Hill he was on there.
Yeah.
You know that he was issued a Distinguished Flying Cross.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he did, and he crashed. Get a load of this. He crashed 4 airplanes in training, not counting the one that he got shot down in. That's 5.
Now, do you know that to be true? I've heard that before.
That's a fact.
Oh, okay. I've heard it before, but I never, never checked it out or Googled it or Wikipedia'd it or,
Yeah. Yeah, the great flyer, the hero, the distinguished flying person. Not only that, on the Forest Hill, it was the bombs from his plane. Get a load of this. Some idiot behind him shot a rocket and hit his plane.
Right.
He panicked and dropped his bombs onto the deck.
Is that what now?
Ensuing fire and the explosions from his bombs caused the fire and the destruction of the Forest Hill, which killed 134 men.
Oh,
that is a fact.
I didn't know any of that. Now
that was the bombs from his airplane that caused the explosions that caused the damage and the death on the U.S.
But not to defend McCain, but if his aircraft was hit by a missile from somebody else on the deck, I maybe McCain is not responsible for losing.
Well, I'm just stating a fact.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
This
is something I've heard a lot about, but I know nothing about how this. I just know that McCain was involved in crashing jets. He must be very, very lucky if he crashed 5 and survived.
Yeah.
And I also knew about the problem on the deck of the aircraft carrier that I thought was the Kitty Hawk. Obviously, it was not. But I didn't know that he had been hit.
Yeah, that was his bombs that caused the destruction of the Forest Hill. But I want to say one more thing, because I know I can tell by the time that the music's going to come on here in a second. I want everybody with a computer to go to Veterans Against John McCain.
VeteransAgainstJohnMcCain.com.
Or Vietnam Veterans Against John McCain and read what happened. Because this man was never tortured by the Vietnamese. This man collaborated with the communists. This man denounced the United States of America. And this man made...
Well, I've never heard any of this. All right, what's the website?
Veterans Against John McCain.
.com. All right, let me check it out, Dave, and we'll talk again, because I don't like to put stuff out there that is just, I've never heard of this before. But we'll check it out. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Am I washed in the blood?
About 9 before the hour. By the way, there is no veteransagainstmccain.com or .org. So, you know, you pays your money and you take your pick here. And maybe the caller got it wrong, but I don't know. There are websites, though, apparently. There's one about McCain that is for real. It's for and against McCain, or no, forandagainst.com/McCain is no war hero. Forandagainst.com. Bills itself as the best place to state your case. Forandagainst.com/McCain is no war hero. So you can check that out. Plus, Bill sent me a whole bunch of stuff here about McCain that. It's too late in the program to get to tonight, but maybe we can get to it tomorrow. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and Catherine Bay, all of whom helped make this program happen. Frank Schaefer will be our guest tomorrow night. We're having a guest, actually. He's written a book about the evangelical movement. It was his parents who practically launched it single-handedly. And we've asked him to come on as a guest. So you're going to find this interesting, I think. John is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? I'd just like to say, as Hillary would say, these white working-class voters in Indiana, West Virginia, and Kentucky, you know, they voted these idiots in the office, and it's their jobs that are going away. It's not the people to live in the city. It's their jobs. So if they want to go ahead and vote for McCain, they're going to get what they wish for. Thanks, Mike. Have a good night.
All right. Appreciate it, John. Take care. Yeah, I certainly have no disagreement with that at all. None.
You know, I just have to comment on Hope. I just have to, because it's just hilarious to me that she's calling you a demon from hell, Mike. And here's this enormous, corpulent preacher bouncing around the stage saying poor people should starve, starve, and Jews have no soul, but you're the demon going to hell.
Right.
I just, you know, and free. There's just too much free speech.
Oh, it's yeah.
Ought to be limits to freedom, as Bush said.
Well, this is what religious people are always told. Always. Just because Hope comes on this program and demonstrates how her brain has been co-opted and removed or taken over by some preacher who promises her that her children will live healthy lives and her father or her husband will win the lottery if she just sends in $15 for this prayer cloth or water or something. But when someone calls this program and says they are covered in blood, I immediately want to call 911 in L.A. County, if that's where they reside, and say, look, there's somebody out there who obviously has opened a vein or an artery. They said they're covered in blood. This kind of stuff is horrific to me. And you're right. Somebody that says that, there's too much free speech. But that is a common understanding among religionists, that there's too much free. The theory of evolution is too much free speech. Gay folk being able to love and get married, too much free speech. People who work for peace and justice, too much free speech. This is the MO of religionists. They're, and I don't care if they're Christian, Jew, or Muslim. The fundamentalists, the ones that are really crazy, really out in the ozone, really, you know, playing with 50 cards out of a deck of 52, no thanks. I want to stay as far away from those kinds of people as I possibly can, because they are absolutely content to cut your throat and watch you bleed to death, because then they will say, well, God told me to do it, and besides, you know, he said he was a demon, so, you know, I'm just killing demons tonight. But yeah, to accept the kind of filth that a Hagee or a Parsley or a Swaggart or the list. To accept that stuff as something that the human mind should have to contend with. And yet, when I come on the air, or anybody comes on the air and says, you know, this is nonsense, to say, well, there's too much free speech, that just staggers me. It staggers me. Just like the kid that called in from Utah tonight that wanted to excuse Bush's incarceration and torture and murder of children. You know, like, and he's going to quote to me the Geneva Conventions. You know, I mean, that kind of mindset is poison. It's poison. It cannot be converted. This, you know, a lot of people say, well, Mike, you ought to treat these people with a little more patience. No, to hell with them. Are you kidding me? It took their entire lives to get wherever they are. I don't care if they're 19 or 79. Whatever was fed into their lives, into their brains, into their minds, was absolute poison. What I'm going to listen to this garbage and say, oh, no, wait, there's a different point of view? No. No, I'm not. I'm going to try to humiliate them as quickly as I can and get them off my radio program. I don't want to give these freaks airtime. That's giving them too much free speech. Freedom ain't free! Starve! I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, y'all. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.